Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America viewers and listeners. Welcome to episode 3 of On Goal with Sonny and Muckbill. I'm Sonny Young, joined by Muckbill Yabbero. Muckbill, I brought back my South Africa jersey for episode 3, but looks like you're sporting some red and green.
I definitely had to find a Moroccan jersey, and luckily for me, a good friend of mine gifted me this jersey, or so I think. Definitely not giving it back.
Yeah, the Atlas Lions of Morocco, arguably the best African team in the World Cup.
Yeah, I definitely don't know who would have expected them to finish atop that group with Belgium and Croatia and Canada as well. Finishing at the top of the group, I'm sure all Moroccans all over the world and Africans all over the world are super excited to see the Atlas Lions in the next knockout phase.
Now, one of our colleagues, super excited, Muckbill, she might even want that Moroccan jersey. Salwa Jafari, Africa Division Director here at the Voice of America. The pride of Morocco. She wants that jersey, Muckbill.
It's definitely very possible. It's definitely very possible. I don't know if I can give it up, though. We're definitely going to have to keep up with the Atlas Lions and see how they do against a very, very strong Spain side. I definitely like how they've been playing. And as you mentioned earlier, they've been playing stellar football from all different parts of their team. Very complete. They've shown us that they have exactly what it takes to win in the next level.
Who have been some of the key players, Muckbill, in your opinion, for the Atlas Lions?
If I were to definitely say, I would have to go with my guy, PSG, Ashraf Hakimi, who is basically the workhorse for this team on the back, playing in the defense. You also could mention Yassine Bounou, who is their goalkeeper, who plays for Sevilla. Amazing goalkeeper. We spoke about this on our World Cup spotlights that he won recently, the Zaforic Trophy, which for those that don't know is the most efficient goalkeeper in La Liga. Very, very difficult to do. And he only conceded one goal, which was an own goal, right? Again, and he still got his hand on that ball. So he's definitely done what he's needed to do. And we have so many other players, but it's a very, very complete team, this Moroccan side.
If we go back through our history books, Muckbill, I think it's been 36 years since Morocco reached the round of 16 at a World Cup. They lost, I believe, to the then West Germany in the round of 16. Now they go up against the 2010 World Cup champion, Spain. But I think the Moroccans might have more confidence than the Spaniards.
I definitely think so. When we look at Spain and what they've done normally, right, this is a very dominant European team, plays this classic style of pass, amazing. It's almost like music. It's symphony almost, the way that these guys pass the ball to each other. And they showed us that in their opening match against Costa Rica, where they gave Costa Rica 7-0. So I think after that introductory game, we all felt as though Spain was the team to beat. Unfortunately for them, after that, they came up against Germany, who's another amazing story in this World Cup, unfortunately, who were knocked out in that very difficult group. It was an amazing draw. Very, very good tactical game, but both teams were unable to defeat each other. And then they play in their last game and they lose. So it's like they've shown us everything that they have. A win, a draw, a loss. Which Spain will Morocco play? That is the question. Whereas Morocco's been very consistent, has not lost a single game just yet.
Well, Muckbill, the Atlas Lions of Morocco, they're part of a pride of lions at this World Cup. We have the Lions of Taranga from Senegal. They made it to the quarterfinals at the 2002 World Cup in Japan and South Korea. Now they're knocking on the door again in Qatar. They go up against more lions. The three roar! The lions! The lions! The three lions of England. How do you see that match?
Man, Sonny, I honestly definitely say that this is a very, very exciting game. Senegal versus England. They've both shown that they are super explosive on the offensive end. They can both score with the best of them. We saw England's opening match against Iran, 6-2, right? So they showed us they can do that. But on the other side, we have a Senegalese side who, to me, have shown the most progress in this group stages where they've only constantly kept getting better. They played their first game against the Dutch, which for 83 minutes was a game that was their game to lose. Gakpo goes in at the 84th minute with a classic header that puts the Dutch up and really just demoralizes this team. But for 83 minutes without their star Sadio Mane, the Senegalese side showed why they are such a complete team, why they should be here even without their... Sadio Mane was ranked top 10 player coming into this World Cup. To lose somebody of that magnitude, it would have been crushing for any other team, but they've shown us with their resolve and their perseverance that they really want it for their entire team and their country. And honestly speaking, England has shown us those strong points, but they've also shown us some games where U.S. and England was a draw, and the U.S. definitely showed us that they showed us the blueprint on what you need to do in order to put England into their place. So hopefully Senegal was able to watch that game.
Mukbil Yabaro, I'm Sonny Young. You're on goal with Sonny and Mukbil. Let's go to Doha, Qatar, where VOA's Kali Abdu is standing by. Sporty World Cup greetings, Kali.
Same to you, my brother. I love the energy in the studio right now. You guys are enjoying the World Cup, it seems.
Well, Kali, we got those lions from Africa, the lions of Teranga, the Atlas Lions from Morocco. What do you think of two African teams in the round of 16, Kali?
I mean, you have to be here to see the energy Morocco especially has here. I don't know if you noticed, but they seem to be a home team here. They have a tremendous amount of support. So many fans who came from Morocco. Some live here, but they have a ton of support. And obviously, Senegal have done well to progress. And they have some fans here, people who have traveled from Europe and some from Africa as well. But so far, the spirits are high in both camps. And we're rooting for them, absolutely.
Yes, Kali, to follow up on that, what are your thoughts on? I know Ghana, unfortunately, did not win their game against Uruguay. And also Tunisia was able to defeat France. So these two teams that didn't make it to the next knockout stages. Tell me a little bit about that pride for the Tunisians to be able to defeat the world champions and Ghana making it difficult so that Uruguay also doesn't advance to the next level.
Well, before I speak on Ghana, let me tell you, we were at the Fan Fest when Tunisia beat France and the place erupted. You know, everybody was cheering them on, even though they didn't make it because obviously Australia advanced. Everybody was very proud of them. You can't say the same about Ghana. I'm going to tell you right now, all the journalists from Africa were really disappointed because of how the Ghana game ended. You know, they started well, they started getting a penalty, and then we were all cheering them on. The South American journalists were holding their heads. You know, they couldn't watch. And then once they missed that penalty, it went downhill pretty fast for them. And we didn't understand what was going on. But, you know, like you said, Uruguay didn't progress because the South Koreans showed a tremendous spirit. But there was something that we were expecting. We expected the Ghanaians to come in really strong in this game because of obviously the 2010 game versus Uruguay. And when we talked to their fans here, they were so buoyant, so confident, man, we're going to beat them 3-0, 4-0. I was surprised to hear that, but that was the type of energy that we were expecting. We thought it would be guns blazing from minute one, but for some reason, watching the Ghana game, they seemed so terrified. The occasion seemed too big for them for whatever reason. So it was interesting to watch.
Kali, I felt like that penalty kick in the first half taken by Andre Dede Ayew was really the game changer. That after the Uruguayan keeper saved the shot, I just thought the momentum shifted right there. That Uruguay took control, And, you know, Ghana looked deflated after that. But strategically, Kali, Mukbil and I kind of felt like the young player for Ghana, Mohamed Kudus, who's been such an inspiration for the Black Stars, that he should have been the one to take the penalty kick and not Dede Ayew. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, you're spot on. I told my colleague, if Ghana had nine other Kuduses on the field, it would have been really tough for Uruguay. His name was everywhere, just Kudus, Kudus, Kudus the whole game. You couldn't say the same about his teammates. Ayew, for some reason, just from minute five, I told my colleague, he seems off. He just doesn't seem up for this. And I was surprised to see him taking the penalty, which obviously he missed. But yeah, you know, there's also another player. I don't recall if he was playing, but Williams, I think he plays in La Liga. He's the designated penalty taker for Athletic Bilbao. So there are other players that could have taken a penalty that I think might have converted. But, you know, this is football. Could have, would have, should have, you know. They didn't convert it, and now they're out. And, you know, they can only have themselves to blame for sure.
Kali, just sticking on that same point, do you think there was a part of maybe Coach Ayew that thought to himself, maybe putting that level of pressure on such a young player, Mohamed Kudus, you know, he's only 22 years old, he's the future of Ghanaian football. Like we said, you know, a penalty kick is 50-50. If he misses a penalty kick on a game like today with such, you know, implications from the past, do you think that could, you know, in essence, hurt him really? So maybe they didn't want to put that burden on this younger player. Is that a possibility?
Yes, you're totally right. That might have well been the thinking. I don't know if you recall England in the Euros, Saka, Rashford, all these really young, talented players playing penalty kicks and missing. You remember how much backlash there was in the media and things like that. And so, yeah, a lot of coaches are very skeptical of throwing their young players in. I mean, let's not forget, Ghana has one of the most, inexperienced sides in this entire tournament. So, I mean, if Dede Ayew wasn't on the pitch, they might have been forced to just let any of these youngsters take it anyway. But, you know, like I say, they didn't give Kudus the opportunity to play the penalty kick. So we will never know. Maybe he would have scored, maybe he would have missed, but Ayew really had the weight of Ghana on his shoulders, and I expected more. I told my colleague from the way he was poised, his run-up, I said, man, this guy's going to miss, and he missed. It's just something about confidence in football that is just, you know, it was just obvious to me that he just didn't seem super confident, and I didn't expect that from him with all his experience.
Kali Abdu speaking with us from Doha, Qatar. Thank you, Kali.
Thank you, gentlemen. Enjoy the rest of your day.
I'm Sonny Young, joined by Mukbil Yabaro. You are On Goal with Sonny and Mukbil. We'll be right back after this short break.
It is the biggest sports event of the year, the 2022 World Cup in Qatar. Join VOA to celebrate Africa's king sport. In-depth coverage, breakout stars, Cinderella teams, coaches, players, and let's not forget the fans from the four corners of the continent and from the city of Doha. Don't miss the fun with Team VOA Africa. Let's experience the magic of football together.
The magic of football, Sunday Shamari. He's having a lot of fun in Doha, Mukbil. You know, I want to get back to that penalty kick taken by Dede Ayew. It's easy for us to second guess, you know, after a player, and I'm sure he's just, you know, really not feeling real good tonight in Qatar. But he looked a little tentative, I thought, when in the run up to the kick.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you. And we have Jackson on the line as well. And I'm sure he could tell us what the feelings are in Accra when Ayew missed that goal. Jackson, welcome. Welcome, Jackson. How you doing, brother?
Hello, guys. Sporty greetings from Accra.
Sporty greetings, Jax. As we were talking, we were just mentioning the Ghana game. And unfortunately, I'm sure you know how it feels. The mood in Accra, I'm sure, is not amazing, having lost to Uruguay. But talk to us a little about that goal, like the penalty kick that Captain IU had missed. What are your thoughts on that?
Listen, that was a match, like it was one of those opportunities that you miss. And when in hindsight, when I'm sure they're going to look back and just kick themselves, because if they had just made that penalty, this was like in the early minutes, it would have been a game changer. It would have changed the dynamics of the game. And you know, the funny thing is I was watching the 2010 game between Uruguay and the Black Stars in Soweto, the one where Suarez used his hand to block that the ball that would have actually taken them to the semifinals, and the subsequent penalty was by Asamoah Gyan was missed, and then they went into penalties because at the time it was in extra time, and they all missed their penalties. And when I saw that, it was just deja vu all over. So much heartbreak here in Accra, man. I'm at the hotel, and it just started raining. There was an event going on, people playing live music, I think some a non-soccer-related event. But just the downpour and how it just, like, spoiled the party for everybody was just felt like a metaphor for what happened today.
Jackson, I know Black Stars fans have to be very disappointed, but they also have a lot to really be proud of. This is a Black Stars team, one of the youngest at the World Cup. They certainly did some really nice things in Qatar. Mohamed Kudus played very well. What's your sense about the future direction of this Black Stars team?
No, first of all, let's just say Ghana went into this, they needed to a win or a draw for them to move ahead. But, you know, when you look at the team, the people that I spoke to, the former Black Stars, I spoke to two former Black Stars who looked at this, you know, I asked them, you know, just give me an understanding of what you think about this Black Stars going forward. And they were really encouraged by the talent, the skill level, the cohesion. Many of these guys don't even play together, but when they were on that pitch, at least on Tuesday, we saw the possibility of what they can do, what they're potentially able to do. And so going forward, I'm not sure they're going to stay with Coach Otto Addo. I think this might be his final. He might have, saluted goodbye to them. But whichever coach comes in, he's starting with a group of young men that have a lot of potential. They have a bright future ahead of them.
Jackson was able to speak with a former member of the Black Stars, and let's hear his comments now.
Coach Damba, we just watched, we just witnessed a game that was 12 years in the making. Uruguay versus Ghana. Ghana lost 2-0. What do you make of this game? Why did Ghana lose? Why were not? Why? What happened?
Well, I must say, first and foremost, I need to congratulate the Ghana team. In all adversities, there's always, you know,
silver lining. Hope,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Because the game still continues. Well, but it was a very difficult one. Yes, 12 years down the line, you have mentioned it. It's been a very difficult, difficult time for especially Ghanaian fans to comprehend the fact that, you know, Suarez especially was the one who prevented us from getting to the semifinals historically. But that is football for you. Fans always have an opinion, but then you have to face the realities.
Absolutely.
Today, we played against a very experienced Uruguayan side. I must say, optimistically, I'm Ghanaian. I would have wished that Black Stars could proceed or could progress to the next step, but we played against a very, very mature, experienced, and of course, a well-fired defense, and who took their chances.
As a coach, what did the Black Stars need to do to win this game that they did not do?
You know, to be very honest with you, it was a very strategic game. We needed at least 1 point. As to the approach of the game, whether it was right or wrong, the game is over. But going forward, I'm thinking that we could have resorted to our back three system where we could have, you know, a better consolidation in the middle part of the pitch as we are playing three central defense and play our wide laterals to do the overlapping runs. But that notwithstanding, you know, we could have gone down the same lane. But if it was meant, we were meant to lose.
Hindsight is 2020.
Absolutely. We could still
you
have
only
lost.
Needed a draw. Basically, to protect the goal line and not have Uruguay win.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about that first penalty. What do you think happened in that first penalty in terms of changing the dynamics for Ghanaians? Because it was a very crucial moment. It would have been an opportunity for them to be ahead, for the Black Stars to be ahead. Do you think that affected them mentally as they progressed?
Absolutely. You know, this was a big moment, especially for the captain, who had to make amends. But then, I think he was also overwhelmed. And in situations like this, we have been there before. So we do understand the emotions that go through. And as much as he wanted to win the game, but I think it was a wasted opportunity. And we can't take anything away from the captain. We missed it, we lost it, it could have changed the whole dynamics. Because there was a fine margin that could have changed the whole dynamics of the game. But we lost it, we missed it, of course. Went against the whole team.
So this is going to be a long weekend in Accra because everybody was anticipating for a win.
Yes. it's got to be a very long weekend, and going forward, Ghanaians will have a little bit of a breather. You know why? Because Uruguay is also out of the tournament.
That's the one thing they...
That is the one thing.
Redemptive...
But then it doesn't change the dynamics.
Okay.
It doesn't change the dynamics.
I think they're calling to go back to the studio. Coach, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Still hurts to be eliminated, but maybe Ghanaians can smile a little bit that Luis Suarez and Uruguay are also out of the tournament. Jackson Vunganyi, thank you very much for talking with us from Accra.
Thank you so much, guys. Sporty greetings. And, you know, I will see you guys very soon. This was supposed to be a win for Ghana. I would have stayed in Accra a little longer, but, you know, my ticket is ready, so I'll see you guys on Tuesday.
All right. See you soon, brother. Safe travels.
I guess it was a public holiday in Ghana to watch that match against Uruguay. But, certainly kind of a put a damper on it to lose.
Absolutely. But as Coach had mentioned, the underlining positive is that Uruguay didn't make it through either.
That's right.
You got to find something. You got to find something. It's going to be a long weekend otherwise.
Well, let's take a look at some of the upcoming round of 16 matches. Let's go back to the match between those Lions, the three Lions of England and the Lions of Taronga from Senegal, Mukbil. The head coach of England, Gareth Southgate, he describes Senegal as a very dangerous team. Koulibaly, he had his first international goal for Senegal. What role does he play on defense?
Honestly speaking, Sonny, I would say that Koulibaly is the heart and soul of that defense. And honestly, the whole team, he has the captain armband now, and he's really shown his resolve. And like you mentioned, for him to have his very first international goal for his country come at a goal that basically gives them the win to put them into the next phase of the tournament is unbelievable. It couldn't have come at a better time. It was very composed, too. And it came right after a goal was scored on them. I believe it was like 2 to 3 minutes after, complete composure. So I definitely feel as though his main job is to just keep that back line in order. You know, he has his teammate in Chelsea, Mendy, who's in the back, you know, one of the better goalies from Africa and in the entire tournament. He's been fighting to get his starting spot back. After this tournament, he might get it back. He's been looking good.
Well, Mukbil, if we talk goal scorers, we got three of the greatest still alive in this competition. Messi, Cristiano Ronaldo, Lewandowski from Poland. He'll be playing up against the defending world champions from France. France lost to Tunisia in their last group match. And I think we should talk about those Carthage Eagles from Tunisia. They played well in Qatar.
You know, sometimes the beauty of this game of football could also be the sadness sometimes, right? 90 minutes could mean anything. It's a world of a time for a team that, you know, needs to try to come back for. But when you're holding that lead, we've seen extra goal minutes happen. Iran scored in extra time twice against Wales. We've seen so many of these things happen. And Tunisia against France actually had an extra time goal by Griezmann within 1 minute of the whistle, but he was offsides. And honestly speaking, you could see the sadness in the Tunisian fans in the stadium. And it had nothing to do with them not being able to get to the next phase. It was more so about the pride of wanting to, at least if you're leaving the tournament, let's beat the defending world champions.
Right, former colonial ruler.
Absolutely. Like, they had so much invested in that game. And for it to almost be taken away in a draw was super saddening for their fans. But as soon as they went back to VAR, man, were they excited. So that's the beauty of it. But definitely thinking that France has the top scorer, tied for top scorer in the tournament
Mbappe,
right now.
Mbappe,
3 goals. Gakpo for the Netherlands, 3 goals. Alvaro Morata, 3 goals. Marcus Rashford from England, 3 goals. And an honorary mention for Inter Valencia, who was the first one to get to 3 goals, I believe. Okay. But his side, Ecuador, will not be on the other side for the knockout phases.
Now, it's still a little early, but Mbappe, should France retain its title? Do you see him maybe winning that golden ball as the best player in the tournament?
It's possible. It's just so open with having 4 players that have 3 goals and having another list of maybe 5 or 6 players with 2 goals each, you know? Messi has 2 goals. Richarlison has 2 goals. So it can be anyone's game. And in these knockout phases, this is really where it's going to start getting interesting for these goal scorers and see where it takes them. But the more you play in the tournament, the more opportunities you have for goals.
You were talking about late goals, Mukbil. The South Koreans with a very late goal against Portugal. It's just been a fun tournament in terms of some of the drama at the end of matches.
And honestly, this has been a tournament where you have to expect the unexpected. To have a team like Japan, who is an amazing team, by the way, very high-quality players, classic players, but nonetheless, you put them in a group with Spain and Germany. Who had them coming out of that group, let alone coming out of that group top? So it just goes to show you that as long as you have 90 minutes, you have a well-coached team, and every single player does what they need to do. And that's one thing about the Japanese and the South Koreans that they've shown us. They play for 90-plus minutes.
Very fit.
Amazing.
Very fit.
Looks like they might have 15 players on the pitch the way they're moving. These boys are moving fast.
Mukbil, you mentioned VAR, and I know we've had more than a few offside calls during this World Cup. What's your sense about the video review? Do you think maybe it's being used too much almost?
Honestly, It's a catch-22, I think. You know, you want these instances where you can go back and review, a decision that could basically cost the entire game to go a different direction. But then you've seen other instances where we've lost the human touch in essence, I think. But yeah, I think it's going to be very interesting for the knockout phase. Sonny, what do you think?
Well, Mukbil, I think we might be out of time. Mukbil Yabaro, Sonny Young, you're on goal with Sonny and Mukbil. We are at the end of episode 3. Please join us again next week for episode 4. Mukbil, let's give a shout out for our producer, Mike Hove. Thank you, Mike, and thank you, Mr. Chang.